And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's Just Something I've Noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, we are Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. So yeah, James Carville said the problem with the Democrats is preachy women. Meanwhile, I found the story I was looking for. A University of California, Berkeley professor, this from Breitbart, has come under fire for alleged misogyny after commenting on the quality of women in different parts of the state of California.
Okay.
I wish some of them could be California. An off-topic discussion that took place on an online educational forum sparked controversy when computer science professor Jonathan Shuchuk responded to a student who asked him about dating in the area. I'm sorry, I can't even read this. If you want a girlfriend, get out of the Bay Area.
All right.
He said in a message board.
Okay.
According to the Berkeley student newspaper, he continued to say that almost everywhere else on the planet is better than that. And I'm not kidding at all. You'll be shocked by the stark differences in behavior of women in places where women are plentiful versus their behavior within artillery distance of San Jose and San Francisco.
Well, tell us how you really feel.
Shuchuk was later forced to apologize. See those preachy women? They always want you to apologize.
There's the problem. You say, think about something negative about preachy women, and all the preachy women come out and want you to apologize to the preachy women.
He was forced to apologize.
Oh, man.
After his comments were poorly received by students and faculty.
What I meant to say was...
Well, the thing is, this is... You know, like, of course, it's a fake apology because he meant what he said the first time.
Yeah, he got home and told his wife, that doesn't include you, honey. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Said computer science student Rebecca Dang, it just made me feel very objectified and uncomfortable because it was basically the implication that women in California are just there to be potential dates.
Yeah. Right. Well, wasn't the question about dating?
Yes.
Well, okay.
His teaching assistant wrote in a follow-up, she was appalled by the professor's comments.
Well, okay.
Implying they furthered misogynistic discrimination in the field. Now, I wonder if they feel the same about men defining women in sports.
No.
I wonder if they feel that's
right.
misogynist.
Right. No, that's doing the right thing.
But wait a minute.
What?
He technically wasn't misogynist. He was geographically misogynist.
Right. Yeah. He didn't, yeah.
Because
he didn't mean all the chicks, just right, the right. chicks in the Bay Area.
That's all he had to do, right, to make it worse was say,
exactly.
say chick.
Listen,
chick
and don't there. Use the word chicks because chicks hate that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Look at this. Another junior who planned to enroll in his class next year said she is no longer interested in having him as an instructor due to him being so blatantly misogynistic. Well, I think we'd say it has to be geographically misogynistic. Now, let me ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
This is serious. Now, this is serious. Are they upset that they said that he said that certain women are dateable? Or that certain women are not dateable?
Yes.
This is the left we're talking about now.
No, the answer is yes.
Yes.
The fact that he said anything about women makes him a misogynist, because you can't compliment them. That's sexist. And you can't criticize them. Because you're a misogynist.
I apologize for my reply, which has caused bad feelings. I did not intend, he wrote in a post. I did not mean to convey any disrespect for women or anybody else, nor to blame the blameless. I value all of my students. I'm sorry for my words and how it made many of you feel. I hope you understand that my comment was motivated by sympathy for the student. Well, wait a minute. Sympathy for the student?
What's that? What?
Sympathy for the male? Isn't that against some liberal rule?
He
is a male, and you're feeling sad for him.
Oh, how dare you? That's doubly toxic.
Shouldn't he have been forced to date women that he didn't wish to date?
Yes. Exactly, yes. Because that's right out of their playbook.
Now he's becoming a victim now because he said, I hope you understand that my comment was motivated by sympathy for the student and a desire to help students. Life is hard sometimes. I feel for all of you who are having a rough time for whatever reason. Things can get better, and it starts with empathy for each other.
Okay. I hear you. Yeah, you can't win.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. Do you know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6 and help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Your only answer in that scenario is, how dare you ask questions and things? That's wrong.
Because if somebody asked me, do you have any dating advice for Texas? I go, yeah, go on out, because Texas women are extremely friendly. Would that be an insult in Texas?
That's sexist.
Would it be an insult in California? Would it be an insult in both, or just an insult in California and not an insult in the state of Texas?
It would be an insult only in California.
Well,
it might be an insult in Texas only that you didn't say very friendly.
Now, when I no, that's when I first moved here. You remember David? Mm-hmm. And David, you know, the assistant program director. Remember?
Yes,
David. Mm-hmm. When we were here, well, we both had the same thing, because he came from Albuquerque, and I was working in Portland before I came here.
Right, yeah.
We were both talking one time, and I said, you know, I didn't act on anything. I said, but I made a big mistake when I first came here. I said, I was like, wow, all these women really, apparently, I mean, have I changed or something? Because all these women are so friendly with me. I mean, what's going on with me? Have I, like, developed into this incredible stud? And then I realized, no, women in Texas are just very, very friendly, and they'll say hi to you.
No, I mean, it's
like, hi, how you doing? Mean anything. It's just like, hi.
Well, and they'll say, you know, things like, and they still do this in California. It's illegal. They'll say, hey, hun.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's, you know, I'm like, I'm looking around for my wife.
You know, I've gotten that, and I feel at that point like I'm an object, and yeah. I'm very offended.
Right. No, I had a server over the weekend. She said, hun, twice. I'm like, I already tipped. I'm trying to, what's the game here? Why is she being so nice? I've already paid.
See,
and I tipped well.
No, but that would be the cynical Californian,
yeah.
Right?
Right, yeah.
Why are you being so friendly to me?
Right.
Or where I came from, Oregon, or New York originally. I'm from New York. Why is somebody being friendly to me? Why is a woman being friendly to me? What's going on here? Something must be up.
Naturally, for me, as a talk show host. Why is someone being friendly to me?
Exactly.
anyone being friendly to, you know.
Right. Is she setting me up?
Yeah. That's what, or when they call you sir, then you're offended. I'm not that old.
And I call all young, any young person, mm-hmm. you know, male who opens the door for me, or, you know, I will walk in somewhere and I'll say, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. So I say sir to you.
I say sir and ma'am across the board.
If you're 15 years old, I'll probably mm-hmm. say sir to you. Thank
mm-hmm.
you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But everybody here understands that it's you're saying thank you, and the sir is just a acknowledgement of, you know, hey, I respect you for what you did. You know, mm-hmm. thanks for mm-hmm. helping the old man through the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Now could you push my car to the car and
right.
put everything in for me?
Right. Come on, hey, I'll pay for your stuff, get you a discount. Get over here. Yeah, it's, you know, it is interesting, and, you know, to think about how society works, right? I was making these observations. One of the things I love to do at airports is people watch. One of the things I hate to do at airports is people watch. Because it becomes so frustrating after the first, you know, 10 minutes. It's first of all, number one, get dressed. You're getting on a plane with other people and they can see you. get dressed with shoes. Now,
go ahead, because I've got something to now finish
it,
this.
It is, you know, we're getting into the warmer weather, and you see a lot of the, you know, the where it's the you know, sandals and stuff like that. And I get it. I get it. That's fine. Yeah, it, and TSA, you get a, for, with me, you get a pass on the footwear. As long as you leave the footwear on during the flight, leave them on. And then, you know, the other thing too is when adults wearing pajamas in public, outside of a hospital setting, needs to stop.
Well, when I used to, when I first moved here, I used to go back to Portland a lot before my golfing buddies moved.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to go back, oh, I don't know, maybe three times a year in golf.
Mm-hmm.
And I always knew what plane was going when I got to the gate.
Yeah.
I didn't have to look to see if it was going to Portland.
No.
Just by what they were wearing.
Yeah, yeah. No, you could play a game and win every time.
Yes.
I won't even look at my ticket to see where my gate is. I'm gonna walk by each gate and I'll tell you which one's going to Portland.
And it's a combination of Columbia sportswear with the North Face label,
yeah, right,
and other very earthy grungy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm being serious. And you sit there and it's like, okay, right over there. It's got to be Portland.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Now, this is going back 20 years ago. It may have changed and they might may be completely and totally stylish in a different way now. I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, and here's another thing, too.
You didn't see many button-down shirts and
dress
legs.
When the flight is under 2 hours, because if you're flying to New Zealand from Texas, you get a free pass on taking a pillow and a blanket and everything to keep you comfortable for whatever it is, 13, 14-hour flight. Yeah, do that. If you're taking a flight, in my case, it was less than 2 hours, and that's kind of where I draw the line. If it's a two and a half, you don't need to bring on half of your bedding from home, including your full-size pillow. But, you know, I thought to myself, also, how people interact, you know, and it comes up, you know, in my mind, dating and everything else, and my oldest granddaughters are dating, even though I've told them time and time again, it's against the law until they turn 30, and apparently they didn't believe me, and you know, you see, and they all have very, very nice and smart people that they hang out with, and it's, you know, that's great and wonderful. But I extrapolate that out and apply it to the rest of the world, and you think about how they think in California, how they think in other states. I've been to California. I see how they talk to each other outside of the dating scenario. Now you've got to try and narrow it down. Think about that, narrowing down the field, and I can't possibly imagine what that is like if you're talking about, it's a completely different world. So
in certain areas, for example, in education and, you know, in education, probably some geographical areas, it would definitely be different if you're talking about living in Berkeley compared to living in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
I mean, you're completely different culture.
Sure.
And so to recognize that a culture is different, even in dating, if you're talking about the far left when it comes to dating versus people who might be more moderate, that's not an opinion. That's why I said geographical misogyny. If you're going to try to make a
you're talking a totally different language.
Yeah.
If you go from, you know, living in Texas and you go out to the Bay Area, don't say anything until you've listened to the language and learned the language. Otherwise, you'll just be shredded at every turn. You'll just never be able to get through one sentence without being shredded. And it's quite
unfortunate. It doesn't mean you can't find like-minded people. I did in Portland. It's great people.
I think there's three conservatives in the Bay Area. I think there's a total of three.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
In Portland,
maybe two.
In Portland, let me see. Lars and Lars Larson. And,
yeah.
Oh, all the listeners at KXL.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
Using a mosquito's own biology to control these pests, Penn State University Extension's Jamie Kopko says that is indeed an important consideration regarding control strategies. One example is how far a specific mosquito species can fly.
Some species, especially the ones that kind of go for those real small breeding areas, they tend to stay close to home. So they might never travel more than 100 or 200 yards their entire life. So if you can find where they're breeding and clean that up, you might make a big difference on how many mosquitoes you've got. Where other species of mosquitoes will fly for miles, and especially if like a storm system rolls through, the wind might blow them some. So you can be like, we're getting hit by all these mosquitoes all summer long and we can't find any breeding sites. Well, yeah, their breeding site might actually be a marshy area 2 miles upwind and they're all just blowing in.
There are also potential mosquito treatment methods based on biology homeowners can perform on their own. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Yeah, it's really interesting when you talk about the left. You're not really sure at times what they're upset about. That's what, and I seriously was asking that question about that professor.
Well, no, that's a great point.
When he said, I mean, were they upset because he was saying that some women are dateable and no man should ever say that another woman is dateable or that these women are undateable in the Bay Area?
No.
Is it they're upset about?
You know, we talk about, I mentioned, look, if you're from, you know, if you're from West Texas and you moved to the Bay Area, man, what a culture shock it would be just for the language alone. Well, forget about that. In today's world, if you're on the left, what can you say to other people on the left and what can't you say? No. I mean, honestly, make any observation and you'll be called out for it.
If you move from Lubbock to downtown Austin, it might be a culture shock.
Yeah, but we have fun because it's still Texas, and we can kind of laugh at it and keep driving through like we always do.
You haven't been to Austin lately.
Yeah, actually I have, and that's why I say that. We laugh loud.
More listeners not now than now, depending on when now is, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. We're going to hear from Breitbart. On Friday's broadcast of Anderson Cooper, CNN national security analyst Peter Bergen stated that if ISIS-K's claim of responsibility for the attack on a Russian concert hall is accurate, that would be very embarrassing for the Biden administration if it turned out that ISIS-K has sort of regrouped to the extent that they can reach out to other countries and carry out major attacks when the Biden administration is responsible for pulling troops from Afghanistan. If the ISIS-K was responsible, it suggests their capabilities are back. He added, initially, when I saw this, I was a little skeptical because typically, if you're an ISIS fighter, you don't care about getting killed on the scene of the crime. You don't. You're not looking for a getaway. You're looking to martyr yourself. So in this case, it looks like the people did get away, according to the Russians. And that isn't the sort of typical thing for an ISIS-type attack. So, however, the fact that it's not just the Americans who had intelligence in their system about the ISIS president in Moscow, it turns out the Russians did, too. Otherwise, why would Russian state television report on March 7th about a plan to attack a Moscow synagogue by ISIS? And that was there. I'm reading that was from CNN, from the Wall Street Journal. A revived ISIS rampages Moscow. This came out yesterday. So the other one was from Friday?
Right.
Saturday, whenever it was. Putin will blame Ukraine to deflect from his country's security, but the jihadist won't spare the U.S. To all the other security risks in the world, if you add the return of Islamic State as a killing machine, Russians were victims on Friday as gunmen attacked civilians at a Moscow concert venue, killing at least 133. ISIS suicide bombers killed more than 80 in Iran in January, and no one should doubt that jihadists are looking to target Americans sooner or later. Vladimir Putin predictably tried to pin the murderous assault on Ukraine and blame the U.S., but the evidence so far points to ISIS, including that jihadists took credit for the assault and posted a video of it taking place, apparently from one of the killers. The U.S. says it warned Russia, as did others, about the possible ISIS attack, but Mr. Putin publicly dismissed the U.S. warning as disinformation. Blaming Ukraine now helps Mr. Putin distract attention from his earlier dismissal of what has now cost so many innocent lives, and it deflects from the fact that Russian security was so inept that the killers could rampage for an hour in the Russian capital and somehow escape in a car. That's really strange. That surprised me.
Yeah.
That happened, that they were able to just do what they did and then for an hour.
Right.
And then drive away.
Yeah, the entire thing doesn't add up. And here's the thing. Once again, we're left in this situation because we don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
We don't know we don't trust the Biden administration on anything. And of course you don't trust the Russian government on anything in terms of, you know, what the reports are. So you have to rely on what the media learns along the way.
Mr. Putin will now use the attack to deceive Russians and mobilize more young men to be cannon fodder for his ambition to annex Ukraine. He has a history of using these events to his political advantage.
Yep.
And evidence points to the apartment bombing in 1999 as an inside job that helped to elevate him to the presidency. Ukraine will have to brace itself for missile attacks as part of this latest Putin misdirection. That's not to take away the focus of the attack from ISIS, which has revived with a sanctuary in Afghanistan since President Biden's 2021 withdrawal. The ISIS-K branch competes with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda for jihadist supremacy, but the Taliban lacks the ability and perhaps his desire to eliminate ISIS in Afghanistan. Mr. Biden promised that the U.S. would have over-the-horizon capability to prevent Afghanistan from again becoming a terrorist sanctuary. But if that's true, you cannot tell from the ISIS-K comeback. Unworried about a U.S. attack on its hideout, ISIS leaders can focus on planning attacks against foreigners as they have in Iran and now Moscow. That Americans haven't been hit recently at home or abroad is a blessing, but not a guarantee for future safety. The ISIS revival argues for keeping the limited U.S. military presence in Syria and Iraq as a check on the return of the 2024 caliphate. The posts are vital to intelligence collection, and perhaps they play a part in gathering the intel that the U.S. had about the attack in Moscow. Mm-hmm. So. That's the one danger. And when you see what's going on at the border right now, we know just from the number of those on the terrorist watch list, probably thousands on the terrorist watch list have entered the United States on the southern border.
Right.
And it doesn't seem as if the Democrats don't care at all. You know, we mentioned Senator Hagerty on the floor over the weekend talking about the amendment that he offered, to stop Biden from bringing illegal migrants in from their countries, that they get on the app, they do it, and then we fly them in to the United States. They believe 320,000 have gone directly from their home country, is what the report says, from their home country to cities here in the United States. And people complain about Governor Abbott.
And where is the standard for screening individuals? Where do you draw the line? And then what happens when they get here? 320,000. You're importing.
Well, you're inviting terrorists into the country.
Yes.
You're saying, come on in.
Right.
And then you had every single Democrat vote to stop that. Or, excuse me, not to stop
not
that.
Not to stop it.
To continue it.
Yep, they support
every
it. With your taxpayer dollars.
And I think it's important to be able to understand when we say the entire party is, on the federal level, is as radical as you can possibly get. There's more evidence there. The evidence that 99.9% of the Democratic members in Congress voted to have males play against females and to codify in the law into the law. They didn't get it passed because of Republican opposition that if you're a biological male, it makes you a biological female.
Right.
These people are nuts.
Yep.
Because give me another explanation. What's the other explanation except they're crazy?
Right.
And I don't like using that term because then people go, oh, you're just being the over-the-top conservative. But I'm not.
Well, and it also sounds, you know, broadly dismissive and just, they're all crazy. But
no,
this is radical. This is as radical as it gets.
I'm saying the specific party on the federal level is radical because I know there are Democrats, local Democratic politicians that don't believe that.
Right. And during an election year, think about that. They don't even flinch.
No. Nope. They think it'll help them in the election.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. If they thought it would hurt them, they wouldn't vote that way.
And finally, California now has the highest unemployment in the nation after new data revealed the job growth in the Golden State was much lower in 2023 than previously believed. Data from the State Employment Development Department indicates California reached 5.3% unemployment last month. Meanwhile, federal data showed, look at this here, Eric. Federal data showed that California added just 50,000 jobs between September of 2022 and September of 2023, far less than the 300,000 initially shown. You're telling me they overestimated? How do you overestimate employment by six times in a state?
Sorry. That's deliberate. There's no way. There's just no way.
I'm talking 15%, 20%.
You're padding the numbers. That's not a typo.
The economic slowdown has affected the state's budget. For the second year in a row, California is facing a multi-billion-dollar deficit. The Newsom administration reported that the deficit was $37.9 billion in January, but the nonpartisan legislative analyst office believes it could be as high as $73 billion. Who would have guessed that high taxes, expensive energy, and rampant crime are bad for the economy? California workers are dealing with the consequences of Newsom's far-left agenda. California Assembly Leader James Gallagher told Fox Business in a statement, if Democrats don't start punishing job creators and rewarding criminals, things are only going to get worse. You know, another thing, you know, you saw that the inside the subway system, it's like murders and crime up 50%.
Yeah.
It's interesting because listen to what Democrats say. But crime is down overall in the United States.
Right. Yeah, well, every crime problem is local, and this is the problem they're having. You know how we talk about that the local media will cover this, the local media will cover that, and that's where you get destroyed. That's where the stories happen. Think about that. With New York, my gosh.
Well, you think about where they've defunded the police.
Mm-hmm.
You know, crime is rising in very, very specific areas.
Mm-hmm.
Where they've defunded the police, where they've said in Democrat cities,
right.
In a lot of other places, it hasn't increased to that extent,
mm-hmm.
or it's gone down,
right?
But it's the places which proves the point. It's policy, but you know when they start saying, "Well, overall crime in the country's gone down." Well, we said this is where you have to start looking at states now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can sit there and say, "Oh, wow, look at the healthy GDP we had this quarter," and then you see that so much of the monstrous growth was in Texas and Florida.
Right.
And other states, you know, other mid, I'm just using Texas and Florida because they're much more populated, which means the job growth numbers-wide is greater, even though in many other states that do not, you know, that are not high-taxed states are doing very well also.
Right.
And you look at the states where, okay, what policy are you enacting? Well, this is insane. And expect that in New York, you're going to see the hit. You know, who knows when, you know, if there's a stay for Trump, who knows when that'll even be heard, you know, a stay and an appeal on all of that. That might not take that long, but still you've sent the message out. Because in all likelihood, if the feds get a hold of the Trump case, they're not going to probably get rid of the law. They may say Trump doesn't owe that. But odds are it's a federal government going to make an analysis on the constitutionality of the law or just that the fine violated the Eighth Amendment.
Right.
And so
yeah, I guess we'll see.
So if they successful in doing it once, will companies just say, oh, we're going to stay away from New York?
Well, it's, I guess, the threat of it, because even if the Supreme Court came back and said, sorry, you can't do that. It's the fact that the Attorney General of the state of New York came up with that and pulled it out of thin air. So if, let's say, she gets blocked by the Supreme Court in this specifically, well, my worry would be, as a business owner, big or small, that she would just pull something out of thin air to go after businesses and anyone that that opposed her politically in this way. Just forget it. I'm not going to be in New York. I'm not going to do business in New York.
Well, because it's not necessarily the fact that she can win the case.
No,
it's the financial.
It's going to tie you up.
It's a financial cost for you to be in that state and the possibility of the legal fees
right.
to fight that.
Right. That's how business works. When you talk about, you know, loss prevention, part of loss prevention is making sure you never get to that place in the first place. Because it's going to cost you either way. Even if they don't win against you, you're going to have to pay.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So Fani Willis says she's the only DA in the United States with enough courage to prosecute Trump. Think that helps her going, since that case is going to now go into the appeal, the disqualification?
No, that doesn't help her at all. This is going to be a problem. And the whole thing is problematic. But seriously, you're just digging deeper on the appeal. You've got, this was her agenda. It's what she ran on. And that
well, when she says the case landed in Fulton County, not by anything that I did, as if coming up with the RICO statutes to prosecute Trump
right.
wasn't her doing.
Right.
Of course
exactly.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Jeez.
Yeah. Delusional.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen. Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.